Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya. So welcome everyone to this morning's class. We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 132. This chapter is called The Process of Devotional Service. So very relevant for us. We're trying to practice the process of devotional service, and we're hearing it straight from the lotus mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a very short verse. It's just a short two-liner. Nama Sankirtanam Sriman Mathura Mandale Stiti Nama Sankirtanam Sriman Mathura Mandale Stiti. Please chant. Nama Sankirtanam Sriman Mathura Mandale Stiti. 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 Okay, let's do the word for word. Nama Sankirtanam. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sriman Mathura Mandale. In Mathura, where Krishna specifically performs his pastimes. Stitihi, residence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One should congregationally chant the holy name of the Lord and reside in Vrindavan. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Sri Goda Mandala Bhumi Yeba Jane Chintamani Tada Hai Vrajabhumi Vas. One who understands the transcendental nature of Navadvip and its surrounding area, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enacted his pastimes, resides always in Vrindavan. Similarly, living in Jagannath Puri is as good as living in Vrindavan. The conclusion is that Navadvip Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, and Vrindavan Dham are identical. However, if one goes to Mathura Mandala Bhumi for sense gratification or to make a livelihood, he commits an offense and is condemned. Whoever does so must be penalized in the next life by becoming a hog or a monkey in Vrindavan Dham. After taking on such a body, the offender is liberated in the next life. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that residing in Vrindavan with a view to enjoy sense gratification surely leads a so-called devotee to a lower species. Nama Sankirtanam Sriman Mathura Mandale Stiti. One should congregationally chant the holy name of the Lord and reside in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militandena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyachade Shatarane Jai. So this is a very instructive and wonderful chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which Lord Chaitanya instructs Sanatana Goswami in the various items of devotional service. So he outlines the whole process of devotional service very comprehensively, and it's based on this chapter, largely this chapter, that Rupa Goswami composed the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And we'll see just in the previous verses, as you've been working up to the current verse, you've been going through the 64 items, or at least most of the 64 items of devotional service that are listed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or our Nectar of Devotion, as Srila Prabhupada presented it in English. And so if we look at what's going on here, the Chaitanya Charitamrita was written by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami on the order of senior Vaishnavas and with the blessings of the Lord. And so this was after the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, and it was also after the six Goswamis. So we see here that, I'll just go back a little bit here. For example, Lord Chaitanya gives his teachings. So I'm looking at text 128. Because what we're looking at here is the five potent processes of devotional service. So the five potent processes are sadhu sangha, associating with devotees, nam kirtan, chanting the holy names, bhagavad shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, mathura vas, living in mathura mandala, and Sri Murtir Shradhaya Sevana, serving the deity of the Lord with faith and devotion. So those five potent processes, Lord Chaitanya actually speaks in text 28. So there he says, sadhu sangha nama kirtan bhagavat shravana mathura vasa shri murtira shradhaya sevana. One should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside at Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. And then what Krishnadas Kaviraj does is that he includes that verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya in Bengali, and then he follows that with a quotation of a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in Sanskrit by Rupa Goswami. So these are, starting from text 130. This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Shraddha visheshita priti shri murtir angri sevane. So it's the same thing, right, in different words. With love and full faith, one should worship the lotus feet of the deity. And then text 131, he says, Srimad Bhagavatartanam asvado rasikai saha sajatiya shaye snigde sadho sangha svato vare. One should taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees, and one should associate with devotees who are more advanced than oneself and who are endowed with a similar type of affection for the Lord. So this is based on Lord Chaitanya's instruction a few verses before. Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami, and then Sanatana Goswami instructed Rupa Goswami, and that's why Rupa Goswami considers Sanatana Goswami his guru, not just because he's his older brother, but because he literally instructed him. He passed on the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he heard with his own ears, and then he spoke to Rupa Goswami, and the Rupa Goswami heard that, understood it, and then wrote it in his own words, in a different language, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then, of course, Srila Prabhupada, he studied Chaitanya Charitamrita, so he got Lord Chaitanya's instructions. He studied Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He got what Rupa Goswami gave as he passed it on, and he passed it on a little differently, in a different language. And then Srila Prabhupada, based on that, composed the Nectar of Devotion in a different language, in his own words, but the same instructions. So this is the glory of the disciplic succession, is that the knowledge continues to be passed down generation after generation and in different languages. and in ways that are understandable to the current audience, the current society, because as time changes, people change, culture changes, understandings change, relevancy changes, and all that. So it's important for the disciplic succession to continue so that the teachings can remain relevant and understandable, accessible, and just extant in human society. So one thing we see here, if we just compare what Lord Chaitanya says, for example, Lord Chaitanya simply says sadhu sangha. But then when Rupa Goswami is talking about the five processes, he elaborates. He gives a whole three lines in Sanskrit even he expands on Bhagavat Shravana. So he doesn't just say Bhagavat Shravana, that we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but he says Srimad Bhagavatartanam Asvado Rasikai Saha. He says that we should, asvada means to enjoy or relish, to relish the taste of something. So we should not just hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but we should relish the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, and artanam, the meanings. We should really like grasp the meaning, the arta, the meaning, the value of Srimad Bhagavatam. And how? With who? Rasikai saha. With devotees who are rasikas. In other words, with devotees who have a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. So not just Bhagavat Shravana, hear Srimad Bhagavatam from anyone, but we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam with devotees who have a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, who understand the deeper meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, who can explain that to us in a way that enables us to understand it, not only understand it, but also asvada, to relish it. And so Rupa Goswami expands on it that way. And then he doesn't just say sadhu sangha, but he says, sajati ashaye snigde sadhu sangha swatovare. He says that we need to seek out the association of those sadhus who basically fit three categories. That sajatiya, that they're similar to us. These go together. Sajatiya ashaye. That their asha, their desire, their aspiration is similar to ours. In other words, you know, that they have a, for example, in ISKCON, we all have a similar aspiration, which is to serve Srila Prabhupada, to expand the mission of Srila Prabhupada, hear and understand Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with each other in ways that would be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. So we have that common bond between all ISKCON devotees, which makes us united in our diversity. And even beyond that, if we get into higher levels of bhakti, it may be that some devotees, they worship Krishna in a different mood. You know, they have a mood of awe and reverence, and another devotee has a mood of more of a Vrindavan mood, that very, you know, familiar, sweet, loving relationship with Krishna. So as we become more and more advanced in realizing our relationships with Krishna, then naturally we're going to want to associate with devotees who have that level of sajatiya ashaye, that they're aspiring for the same destination or the same type of service in the spiritual world, like that. So on all these levels. So that's one thing, that we should associate with sadhus who are similar in their aspirations to us. And another thing is snigde. Snigde means affection. We should associate with devotees who have affection for us, and who we have affection for. In other words, there should be some love, you know, there should be some like love between devotees. There may be devotees that, you know, they seem to have similar goals and aspirations, but they're just kind of a little aloof, or they're kind of cold, or you might think they don't like you, or whenever they talk to you, they make you feel discouraged or something. So, you know, that's not the... So Rupa Goswami is saying that, no, associate with devotees who are kind to you, who you feel that they care about you, and you feel affection coming from them. Why? Because they're going to support you, they're going to encourage you, they're going to make you feel positively inspired and propelled forward in your devotional service, and that's what we need. And then the third thing is the last line, sadhu sangha swato vare. So vare means better, and swata means oneself. So we should associate with devotees who are better than ourselves. In other words, who are more advanced. So, yeah, if we always associate with peers, then we might just level out and be like, yeah, we're all, you know, we're just doing our thing here. If we're associating only with juniors, that's good, you know, because we'll be giving them Krishna consciousness, but and that helps us. But yeah, the tendency is that, you know, like water seeks its own level. So water, when I was teaching in school in Vrindavan, I was teaching in the Vrindavan Gurukul for 1 year, and there was a senior Vaishnavi teacher there, Yashoda Mai, and she said that with children in the classroom, they're like water. They'll all go to the lowest level. So if you have one child that's very misbehaved, if you don't, you know, get that child into line, they're all going to be down, you know, they're all just going to, it's going to be chaos. So it's not that you have one or two good students and they're going to be inspired, but the lower students will drag everyone down. So if we're only associating with devotees who are, you know, junior to us, then we might end up going to their level. So Rupa Goswami is saying that Swatovare, we should associate with more advanced devotees because they're going to inspire us. They're going to show us an example of how we can be better. They're also going to probably point out ways that we can be better. Things that, you know, they'll point out our little defects, our shortcomings, our room for improvement. And we need that. So what I'm pointing out here is, one, this is very important to know about how to associate with devotees, but two, how as knowledge flows down the disciplic succession, it expands, right? Because the acharyas, they add their own understanding, their own realizations, their mercy is infused into the teachings. And we see when Srila Prabhupada writes his he gives us Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the form of nectar devotion, but he also adds his own realizations and his own mercy, and he expands the explanations in different ways. So, and so that brings us to the current verse, Nama Sankirtanam Sriman Matura Mandale Stiti. So Lord Chaitanya says, simply, he says Nam Kirtan. Rupa Goswami says Nam Sankirtan. So he says, don't just sit in a room and do kirtan by yourself, but do Sankirtan. Get together with other devotees and chant together, right? The congregational chanting. Go out in the streets and do Harinam Sankirtan. Give the holy name to others. The holy name is meant to be shared. It's meant to be relished in association. It's meant to expand. So that Nam Sankirtan brings in the congregation, the community element, the preaching element of Harinam. And then Lord Chaitanya says, Mathura Vas, which might make you think, okay, I need to go and live in Mathura. But Rupa Goswami expands it to Sriman Mathura Mandale Stiti. So he says, not just Mathura, but the whole Mathura Mandala, the whole broader region of Mathura, which includes Vrindavan and Govardhan and Varshana and Nandagaon and Vrindakund and you know, all these other places around Mathura, the whole Mathura Mandala, the whole district. So, and then in the purport, Prabhupada quotes Narottam Das Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya, and then the next is the sixth Goswami, so Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. After Rupa Goswami comes Krishnadas Kaviraj, so here we get Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then after Krishnadas Kaviraj, the next generation Acharya is Narottam Das Thakur. So we're going again down the disciplic succession a little further, and Narottam Das Thakur is continuing the pattern of expanding the mercy, expanding, opening it up even further, saying Sri Goda Mandala Bhumi Yeba Jani Chintamani Tada Haya Vraja Bhumi Vas. That one who understands that this Navadvip Dham, Goda Mandala, is non-different from Mathura Mandala, he, living in Navadvip Dham, lives in Vrindavan. So he said it's not just Mathura, it's not just Mathura Mandala, but it's also Goda Mandala. It's also Navadvip Dham, is the same as Vrindavan, and it fulfills this item, this process of devotional service of Mathura Vas by living in Mayapur. Living in Navadvip Dham. And then in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he says, so after quoting Narottam Das Thakur, he says, similarly, living in Jagannath Puri is as good as living in Vrindavan. And he says that Navadvip Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, Vrindavan Dham are identical. So in this purport, he adds another element. Jagannath Puri is also in there because it's also a very important pastime place of the Lord, right? Lord Jagannath is there, but particularly it's important for us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas because Lord Chaitanya lived there for so many years. He spent the final, 18 years of his manifest pastimes in Jagannath Puri, and that was a place where he really went very deep in his Krishna Smaranam and in ecstasy of separation and the mood of Srimati Radharani feeling separation from Krishna. And then there's another verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's see if I can find it here. Maybe not. Oh, thank you. So this is, this is C.C. Madhyalila 16, 281. It says, Tabu Vrindavana Yaha Loka Shikshaite Seta Karibe Tomar Ye Laya Chitte. So this is spoken, I think, by Advaita Acharya to Lord Chaitanya. He says, although wherever you stay is Vrindavan, you still go to Vrindavan just to instruct people. Otherwise, you do whatever you think best. So at the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, presently, the members of the Hare Krishna movement throughout the world live in materially opulent cities such as London, New York, Los Angeles, Paris, Moscow, Zurich, and Stockholm. However, we are satisfied with following the footsteps of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other acharyas. And he had previously mentioned that these other acharyas who, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that's okay. He gave a long list of acharyas who never went to Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Vrindavan, but he mentioned other acharyas who didn't go to Vrindavan. Anyways, he says, because we live in temples of Radha Krishna and continually hold Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of Hare Krishna, we consequently live in Vrindavan and nowhere else. So Prabhupada expanded it even more, not just Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, and Navadvip, but also London, New York, Los Angeles, Paris, Zurich, Stockholm, Moscow, Alachua, we can extend it to Alachua, Gainesville, so many, wherever we have our ISKCON temples, that these are, anyone who's living in these places, in these communities, is living in Vrindavan. So this is Srila Prabhupada just like completely opened up the conception of Vrindavan. So I wanted to get into what makes a place Vrindavan. So one thing that we know from Srimad Bhagavatam is that the presence of pure devotees turns any place into a place of pilgrimage. That verse is there in the first canto, that Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Prabho Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Swanta Stena Gadabrita. That, I think this is spoken to Vidura, that devotees like yourself, personalities like yourself who are so infused with devotion, are walking places of pilgrimage, are places of pilgrimage personified, right? Tirtha Bhuta Swayam, that you yourself, Swayam, are a Tirtha. And you're able to turn any place into a Tirtha. Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani. It's literally that you can make any place into a holy Tirtha. Why? Because Swanta Stena Gadabrita, because you carry the Lord, Gadabrita, in your heart, within yourself. So anyone who is a pure devotee, who's always thinking of the Lord, who carries Krishna very strongly in their heart, then wherever they are, the Lord is also present, and whenever the Lord is present, that place is Vrindavan, right? Because Krishna doesn't take a step out of Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya said this about himself. He said, Mora Mana Vrindavan. Vrindavana, that my mind is Vrindavan, or my heart is Vrindavan, because I'm always thinking of Radha and Krishna, their transcendental leelas, always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, then my mind is Vrindavan. So if my mind is Vrindavan, wherever I am is Vrindavan, and whoever's with me is also in Vrindavan, because I'm in Vrindavan, like that. So the presence of personalities of this caliber can turn any place into Vrindavan. And then another thing that makes a place for Vrindavan is the presence of the deity. And here we have Radha Shyama Sundar. So Radha Shyama Sundar in Vrindavan. They're also here in, they're in Raman Reti Vrindavan. They're also here in New Raman Reti Vrindavan. And so, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita earlier in the Adi Lila, it says, Vrindavanam parityajya sakvachin naiva gachati. That Krishna, Vrindavana parityajya naiva. He can never give up Vrindavan, right? Sarvadharmam parityajya. We give up, Krishna says, give up, parityajya, give up all different varieties of religion. Vrindavana parityajya naiva. Nah, he can't abandon Vrindavan. He can never leave Vrindavan. Sakvachin naiva gachati. He doesn't go anywhere else. So he never leaves Vrindavan to go anywhere else. So if the deity is here, deity is installed, Krishna is here, and therefore this is Vrindavan, because Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan, so if Krishna is here, it has to be Vrindavan. So the presence of the deity makes a place Vrindavan. And then another thing that we're another thing is that the chanting of the holy name. So similarly, the chanting of the holy name is Krishna, right? Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name is identical with Krishna. There's no difference between the name and the named. So the name is naming Krishna. And so the holy name is Krishna. That's given. And what Prabhupada says here in this purport to the verse that I just read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that, here's the list of he says the eternal Vrajavasis, like Swarup Damodar, did not even go to Vrindavan Dham. Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Sri Haridas Thakur, Sri Vas Pandit, Shivananda Sain, Sri Ramananda Roy, Sri Sikhi Mahiti, Sri Madhavi Devi, and Sri Gadadhar Pandit Goswami never visited Vrindavan Dham. It's very interesting because if you look up in the, what's that book? Krishna, something Ganadash Dipika? Gaura Ganadash Dipika? Yeah, it gives all the identities of Lord Chaitanya's associates in Vrindavan Leela, in Radha Krishna Leela. And these are like, Lalita, Vishakha, Radharani herself, and, all these Vrindavan personalities, as Prabhupada says, the eternal Vrajavasis. But when they came, when they appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, they didn't even go to Vrindavan. Isn't that like almost unbelievable that these eternal Vrajavasis like Lalita, Devi, Vishakha Devi, they didn't go to Vrindavan when they were here. And, Vrajabhumi is right there. It's the replica, the non-different from Vrindavan, and that is their place eternally, and they didn't even visit. So, but then Prabhupada continues that they didn't go to Vrindavan, but because they're always engaged in Nam Bhajan, then they're certainly always living in Vrindavan Dham. So that goes to show that if we're always engaged in Nam Bhajan, Nam Kirtan, Nam Sankirtan, then we're in Vrindavan, because that creates the atmosphere of Vrindavan. Yeah, he says that, this is a quote, they're always engaged in Nam Bhajan, therefore they certainly did not live anywhere but Vrindavan. So that's a way we can create, another way we can create Vrindavan is by always chanting the holy names. And I was thinking that, after Sadhu Sangha came here to Alachua and we had that amazing 6-hour kirtan with Bibi Govinda Maharaj and Shivaram Swami, and it was like ecstatic. It was, you were not in Alachua, Florida, you were in Vrindavan. Anyone who is there, we all entered the spiritual world. So, we can experience that ourselves. And then another way that we can create, of course, this Prabhupada talks about in this purport, that the consciousness of the devotee is very important. So the consciousness and the intention. So if our consciousness is that we're always thinking of Krishna, then, Swanta Stena Gadabhada, it's the same point. Then we become that saint. We become that saint who becomes a walking, who can turn a place into Vrindavan. And, conversely, as Srila Prabhupada says here, if one goes to Mathura Mandalabhumi for sense gratification or just to make a livelihood, then they commit an offense. They're not in Vrindavan. There was one pastime where some people are living at Radhakund But they were doing a lot of nonsense. You know, they were engaging in illicit activities and things like that at Radhakund. And so one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples asked him about it. He said, how is it possible that these like rascals are living at Radhakund? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, they're not living at Radhakund, they're living in Narakakund. Naraka means hell. So you see, they're not living in the Holy Dham, they're not living in Vrindavan, they're living in hell. Why? Because their consciousness is hellish. So yeah, we can go to Vrindavan, we can go to a holy place, but if our consciousness is materialistic, if we're just absorbed in sense gratification, then basically we don't have access. We lose access to that holy place, and we're just, you know, outside. We're just outside the Yogamaya covering. Like it says, you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. You have to have that pure intention. So, yeah, and Krishna talks about this in Bhagavad Gita. I'll just reference here. Bhagavad Gita 8:14. So there, let's see. Yeah, Bhagavad 8:14, Krishna says, Ananya Chetaha Satatam Yo Mam Smarati Nityasaha. Sorry? Yeah, the next line is Tasyaham. So, but first let's talk about this. So Ananya Cheta Satatam means that Ananya Chetaha means your consciousness is not on anything else. In other words, undeviated. For one who always remembers me, Yo Mam Smarati Nityasa. Who Nityasa? Smart, who always remembers me, Krishna's saying, without being deviated, without letting your consciousness be deviated to anything else. And then, so what happens for that person? Tasyaham sulabha partha. Krishna says, I am easy to obtain. Right? Labha means to attain something, and su means easily, like I'm well attained, I'm easily attained. Tasyaham, I. Yeah, that to that person, I am easily obtained, O son of Pritha. And how? Nitya yuktasya yogina, by constant engagement in devotional service. So anybody who's remembering Krishna without deviation and is connected to Krishna very tightly, very intimately, by always being engaged in his service, then tasyaham sulabaha, they attain Krishna. And then, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, if you attain Krishna by that Krishna consciousness, by your Krishna consciousness, then you're in Vrindavan. And then in the purport here to that Bhagavad Gita 8:14, this is from the third paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada writes, some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan. So these two things, is significant, I think, in this verse that Nam Sankirtanam, Sriman Mathura Mandale Stiti, that Nam Sankirtan and Mathura Mandale Stiti are together. Because we live in Vrindavan by Nam Sankirtan, by chanting the holy names. Because what is the best way to remember Krishna? Chanting Hare Krishna. And what's the best way to serve Krishna in this age? Lord Chaitanya says that out of all the nine processes of devotional service, the best is kirtan. The best is chanting the holy names. So chanting Hare Krishna. So it's no coincidence that these two things are together, that Nam Sankirtan, Mathura Mandale Stiti. Yeah, but then we could raise, someone could raise the argument that, well, then if we can create Vrindavan by installing the deity, chanting Hare Krishna, you know, having a few pure devotees around and just being very intentional and very Krishna conscious while we're, you know, anywhere, you know, like Paris or London or Moscow or Alachua, then does that mean there's no use in going to Vrindavan Dham in India? So the answer to this is that Lord Chaitanya didn't need to go because Mora Mana Vrindavan. His mind, his very mind was Vrindavan. And Lord, Srila Prabhupada is giving examples of these pure devotees, right? Like Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, who are Lalita and Vishakha. They didn't need to go to Vrindavan because they're always in Krishna consciousness. They're eternal Vrajavasis. As Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, they never leave Vrindavan either. And then in Bhagavad Gita 8:14, Prabhupada says, a pure devotee, by their pure, Krishna says that someone who never forgets him, who's always serving him, they attain him, and therefore they are also, Prabhupada elaborates, in Vrindavan. But then, even though Lord Chaitanya is in Vrindavan, this verse says that although he's always in Vrindavan, still he goes to Vrindavan. Why? To instruct the people in general, right? Loka shikayati, to instruct the loka. Loka means the common people. It's the common people of this world. So why? Because common people of this world aren't always Krishna conscious. They don't have that, Ananya cheta satatam. Our consciousness is going to other things, right? Sometimes we remember Krishna, we come to the temple, we're standing in front of the deity, and also we don't see Krishna in the deity. So the deity makes a place, Vrindavan, but when we're standing here in front of Radha Shyamasundar, do we really have that experience that I'm standing in the presence of Radha and Krishna? Does it really hit me? You know, does it impact me that I'm in the presence of the Lord, right? Probably most of us, if we're going to honestly introspect, we'd have to say no, or at least not all the time. Maybe sometimes it hits you and it's like, oh my God, this is Krishna, right? But most of the time we're kind of like thinking about other things, even while we're, you know, saying Govinda, Mari Purusham, during the greeting of the deities or other times. So because we're not always Krishna conscious, because we're not always seeing, we're not appreciating fully the deity as Krishna, because we're not chanting the pure name, or we're chanting the pure name, you know, unconsciously, inattentively, so then we actually need to go to Vrindavan. We need to really follow the process, follow the example that Lord Chaitanya is setting, because there's a difference. At least for a pure devotee, there may not be a difference, but I myself, not being a pure devotee, experience a difference, you know, when I'm in Vrindavan Dham, when I'm chanting my japa, you know, just anywhere else in the world, even if I'm at a ISKCON temple with devotees, or when I'm like sitting in the dust there at the foot of Govardhan Hill chanting my japa, it's like, it's a different experience, you know, when you're there in the Dham and you've got the dust of Vrindavan on your forehead, and you know, the peacocks are wandering around and the parrots are screeching and Giriraj is in front of you and, you know, devotees are doing parikram behind you and you can hear them singing their Brajvasi bhajans, and it's like, it's a different experience. And it's transformative. You know, it brings us to a higher level than we are usually at in our bhakti. So we need to go to Vrindavan, because although in one sense the temple is non-different from Vrindavan, but for us it's different. Our experience of it is different because we're not there yet. We're not on that level that the deity is Krishna, that the holy name is Krishna, that this place is Vrindavan. We're not feeling it yet. So therefore we need to go to a place where we can feel it. And it's more likely that, you know, when we go to Vrajabhumi on this planet where Krishna actually walked and where all the pastime places are still there, then we're going to feel it a little more. Although, you know, if we're doing the things that Prabhupada warns us about in this verse, then even there we might not feel it. But at least if we go there intentionally, you know, so I think most of us, when we, you know, pay all that money and get an airplane ticket and go to Vrindavan, we're going intentionally that I really want to recharge my spiritual batteries. I want to go deep. I want to just take a break, take a retreat from all, you know, the extraneous things in my life and just connect to the holy Dham, connect to the holy name, associate with devotees, be with Krishna, do more hearing, do more chanting, do more reading, and like that. We go with that consciousness. And so we're able to access something. You know, as long as we're not going, I'm going to go to Vrindavan because the cost of living is cheap and I can buy land and I can build an apartment building and I can sell apartments and make money. You know, like, assuming we're not going like that, you know, I'm going to take advantage of gullible people that live there and, you know, sell drugs to them or something. You know, as long as we're not going with that, you know, nonsense consciousness, hopefully none of us are doing that, then we're going to have some experience. And every time we go, we're going to access a little more, and have that experience. So, yeah. Myself, I lived in Vrindavan for 10 years, and I lived in Mayapur for 9 years. And it was definitely transformative for myself, for my children. We raised our daughters, two daughters who are adults now, we raised them. They spent practically their whole life in Vrindavan and Mayapur. And it helped. Like, we went there to try to help them become devotees, and it worked. You know, they got the mercy of the Dham. They developed a deep attachment to Krishna and Vrindavan and Mayapur, and Lord Chaitanya and the holy name and everything. So that potency is there. As much as the holy Dhams may seem covered to our viewpoint, but it's still there. The Dham is there. Krishna is there. It's all there. And it's still very powerful. So, yeah, I have that experience with devotees that every year I lead a yatra with young devotees. Many of them are very new devotees, most of them first time in India. And myself and Brihat Mardanga Prabhu, we organize a yatra, Krishna House Yatra, to the holy Dhams. You go to Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Varshana, and different places, Ekachakra. And we see how it's transformative. Devotees have an experience that, like, they wouldn't experience anywhere else. The holy Dham is really special. It hits you very deep, and you don't forget those memories. And you want to go back again and again and again, because there's something special. So, yeah, so we need to go to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada wanted that. He wanted us to go every year. He wanted the devotees to go every year to Mayapur, right? And do parikramas and hear and chant, absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting. And so, yeah, that Nam Sankirtan. That's what we do when we're in the Dham, is Nam Kirtan, right? We're chanting Hare Krishna, we're doing increased japa. Also, katha is also kirtan. So hearing Krishna katha, speaking Krishna katha, just chanting about Krishna, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna. And so these are two of the five very, very potent processes of devotional service that Lord Chaitanya says that they can invoke bhava, they can invoke ecstatic transcendental emotions even in a neophyte. And we experience that. We take devotees there, new devotees, not even initiated, first time in Vrindavan, and they get some emotional experience. You know, they'll be sitting in front of Govardhan Hill chanting and like crying. You know, they'll come back like, oh my God, I just had an amazing realization that changes their life. So these processes are very, very potent. Personally, I think it's a good balance to go to the Dhams annually and then come back and share that with others. You know, spend time serving in the West, spreading Krishna consciousness. This was Srila Prabhupada's mission. It was a preaching mission. Srila Prabhupada could have spent his whole life very happily in Vrindavan, but he left Vrindavan in order to create Vrindavan all over the world. So following in his footsteps, I feel like that's the best thing for us to do too, instead of, you know, because while I was living those 10 years in Vrindavan, it's like when you're living in a place all day, every day, year after year, it's like you just get into life, you know? It's like, oh, we need to go buy BOGO, we need to pay the electricity bill, we need to, you know, it's like you just start getting into regular life, which is fine, but it's a different experience when you go very intentionally that I'm just gonna go on pilgrimage, connect with the Dham, see the places, hear from the sadhus. When we're there, you can become overfamiliar and take a lot of it for granted and just get into daily life. So do daily life here and make that life as Krishna consciousness as possible and give that to others. Show other people how they can bring Krishna and Vrindavan into their daily lives, and then go to Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri and have a spiritual immersion experience frequently, at least regularly, like once a year. And we'll be able to get that maximum benefit from these potent processes. Okay, so I'll stop there. Marumati, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhupada Priya, for your real nice class. You started off with mentioning about how the acharyas expand. And, you know, from just Vrindavan to Mathura Mandala to Puri to, and then Prabhupada expressing all our temples. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned about how that is a process, succession, and it continues to do so.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada expanded, then later on others will also expand. Just yesterday, we were listening, Srisila Prabhupada and I were listening to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's last class that he gave to the devotees in Gita Nagari. And if my understanding is correct, that he specifically wanted to leave in Gita Nagari to make the point that this is a holy dham. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to hear from you. I was thinking, you know, we're at the stage we're leaving. You know, we're always leaving our body, but more and more devotees are leaving, and devotees are leaving. Not everybody can go to the dham, Vrindavan dham or Mayapur dham to leave their bodies. So devotees are leaving their bodies here. Mm-hmm. And as Maharaj being more merciful, expanding more, it seems from what you're saying, that's what I felt like, oh, okay, he was expanding more, saying, yes, you leave your body here, and it's leaving, like leaving your body in Vrindavan. So I like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thank you. Nice question. Yeah, I was just reading from Prabhupada Lilamrita where he was in Rishikesh, and he went there thinking that he was in Mumbai before that, and his health took a turn for the worse. So they thought, and it was summer, it was like May in India, it's like very hot. So the devotees thought, go to Rishikesh, the air's fresh, it's cool, the Ganga's there, it'll invigorate you, your health will come back. So thinking that Prabhupada's health would improve, they took him to Rishikesh. And then he was there, and he was feeling good for the first week or so, but then there was this really heavy storm. There was power failure, there was no electricity, it was just, you know, monsoon storm for days. And then during that time, Srila Prabhupada, he just felt like his health just plummeted. And he thought that this is the end. And by that time it was already, it was a little later, maybe it was summertime. Anyway, so then he told Tamakrishna Maharaj was there with him, a few others were there. He told Tamakrishna, he called Tamakrishna Maharaj in the middle of the night, like 1:30 in the morning. He said, I feel like this is, you know, I'm going to leave my body very soon. And then he said, if Krishna wants me to leave, let me leave in Vrindavan. So he said, pack my bags and arrange the car and take me immediately to Vrindavan. So next morning they went to Vrindavan, and then Prabhupada stayed there. And he left his body in Vrindavan, and he set that example, right, that if you have to leave, let it be in Vrindavan. But then, there's the example of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Also, as you were speaking, I was thinking of Mother Ratnaranjini, who left her body in Scotland, and she was completely in Vrindavan consciousness, right? She had already, there's that nice book written about her, Simple for the Simple, in which her husband, who was there with her, is revealing, you know, how she had these deep revelations of her spiritual identity. She knew who she was in Goloka Vrindavan, and she was immersed, you know, in her eternal service and assisting Mother Yashoda and packing Krishna's lunch and all these things. And she was just there. That was her identity. She basically she was hardly even conscious of her, you know, relationships in this world, whose mother she was, whose wife she was, where she was. And that was in Scotland. And she left her body in that consciousness. So it's possible, right, if we're in very, very exalted consciousness. If we're not in such exalted consciousness as Mother Ratnaranjini or Bhakti Tirtha Swami, then there's a lot of benefit for us of leaving our body in Vrindavan, because the special mercy is there. So that's kind of the point I was making, that if we have very, very high consciousness, then it doesn't matter, because wherever we are, it's Vrindavan. But if we're not in that, you know, pristine Krishna consciousness, then basically we need all the help we can get. And Vrindavan is a big help, rather than being in the West. I noticed that with my children, my daughters, they benefited so much from growing up in Vrindavan and Mayapur. I don't know if they would be the very strict sadhakas and, you know, serious devotees that they are now. If they hadn't, I mean, I don't know, because we didn't do that. We did another thing, so you don't know what the outcome would have been, but I feel like it influenced them very nicely. But that said, yeah, I mean, yeah, Bhakti Tirtha Swami set the example that others would follow, right? He specifically did it to set the example that others would follow, that you don't need to go to Vrindavan. So that's there, you know, and that's as Krishna consciousness, as the golden age of Krishna consciousness expands and more devotees are there, then the spiritual atmosphere of the world is going to change. And there'll be less and less need to go and leave one's body in Vrindavan. So, yeah. I still think, following Prabhupada's example, that it's best to leave one's body in Vrindavan if we're not, you know, a pure devotee. But a pure devotee can leave the body anywhere. I'm not sure if that's very clear. But it depends on a few things, right? It depends mainly on our consciousness. But see, yeah, with the blessings of a devotee like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, then we can leave our body anywhere and be in that Vrindavan consciousness. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu?
But we see that atheism is taking over rapidly. like the European countries, for example, so many of them, half of them are already atheists. And other places like Australia, and mm-hmm. New Zealand, China, Korea, all these places. So what is, I mean, how do you see our movement progressing with these obstacles?
Yeah. Well, what I heard is that it's going to be kind of like a polarization effect, where people who are, you know, atheistic or demonic are going to become more so, but people who are religious, who are spiritual, are also going to become more so. And then it's going to be a little more like black and white. And then people who are in the middle, who are in the gray area in between, are going to see like a big contrast between the divine nature and the demoniac nature. And that's going to induce them to move more towards the divine nature, right? To become religious, to become spiritual, to become Krishna conscious. But yeah, we need to do the work, right? We need to be those divine personalities that attract people to Krishna consciousness, and we need to go out there and give them our association. So that was Prabhupada's movement, is not just that we, you know, sit here in the comfort of our devotee communities doing kirtan and relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, but that we go out there and give our association to other people and share Krishna consciousness, distribute books, distribute the holy name, and fulfill the mission of the disciplic succession, which is to spread the holy names to every town and village. That was Lord Chaitanya's order, right? So we need to keep making Krishna consciousness relevant and presentable. And actually, that reminds me that speaking of disciplic succession, is that I recently published a new book. This is called The Living Gita, little advertisement here, because I distributed Prabhupada's Gita for many, many years. And this is my impetus to write this book, is that, you know, I would distribute books. I'd go to small towns. I was mainly in England and the USA. And I would meet people again. And they'd say, oh, I got that book from you. I got Bhagavad Gita from you last time.